Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for watching over us and for loving us, for bringing us together at this particular time. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would just take this time that we've set aside to work in our hearts and minds, Lord, and to refresh us and comfort us. And Lord, you know just everything that it is that we need, and I pray that you would supply those needs for us today, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for an open invitation to come before you at any time. And Lord, just work in our hearts and minds, but not just ours, Lord, in the hearts and minds of those we love, the hearts and minds of those that are absent today, for those that we have been helping over the the days and weeks and months and years, for our neighbors. For, Lord, for all those that we know and that we work with and that we speak to, that we would always show a good face, Lord. Always show, let our works speak to others of our sonship. Lord, look after our brothers and sisters wherever they are in the world. Just think on Stan and Karen. And the kids and all the Stuarts and their families and Jake and James as well. I pray you, Lord, for the folks that have gotten leaflets. I pray you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who even now in our so-called peaceful enlightened days are still being persecuted for meeting in church. Lord, we really do need an awakening, and we know that judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. And Father, maybe we do need a shake. Maybe we do need an encouragement, Lord, an exhortation. But Lord, I pray that you would supply our needs this day, our daily bread. Bless us, Lord, as we spend this time together in your presence. Please lead us and guide us. And I pray you, Lord, for our petitions and our praises, that they would be acceptable in your sight. Bless and keep us, Lord, and just put your good hand upon us as we enjoy this time, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Amen. Getting warm there now, right? Excuse me. Let's take our big hymn books this evening and turn to, if you would, there we go, hymn number four in the big books, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Our next hymn is going to be 301. 301, sweet hour of prayer. 301, sweet hour of prayer.
From the book of Corinthians 1, verse chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, or had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
Those verses, there's a couple of good verses there that I really like, but the ones that stick out is in verse number 2 has been a great help to me throughout all my years of speaking to souls at the doors. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And verse number 9, where it says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen. God does promise us good things, and many of them we would do well just to take him at his word. Amen. All right. Has anybody any prayer requests or anything they would like to give thanks for or bring to the church's attention? Steve.
I have two things. Thanks for all the blessings.
Sure. Yep.
Same thing as... I received an email today, which I'm going to pass on to you, from Release International. It's been reported that jihadist Muslims are targeting Christian churches and Jewish synagogues. They've already hit 3 and wiped out hundreds of Christians.
And?
I can't remember. It's from one of the Middle Eastern countries.
Amen.
And we want to give thanks to God and to you for your all your prayers and thoughts on me over the past few weeks. Please continue to pray.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I would like for you to... sorry, I hope I'm not talking over the top of anybody else there. Is anybody else going to say anything? Not just yet. My sister is going in to get... As you know, my sister fell and broke her ankle. She has to go and get plated or pinned tomorrow. She's going into, or may actually be in hospital even as we speak. They're prepping her for surgery tomorrow morning. She broke her something. Femur? Tibula? Something like that. One of the big long bones in her leg. I think the smaller one. I think they said it was something like a spiral fracture. Whatever way she broke it good and proper. And they have to, I think they're putting a plate in. They're just going to screw all the wee bits together in their proper places so that her bone actually heals. So we would appreciate your prayers for her. I think that's about that, isn't it? Yelling. That's tomorrow morning. I'm putting it down here for my own reference. Hopefully I'll be putting in thanks this time next week. Yes, Christy. Oh dear. an awful woman. Certainly be praying about that too. Could be any number of things and we don't know because she won't go to the doctors. Okay. We will certainly be thinking on that. I feel like a teacher pointing the finger at people waiting for an answer for a quiz or something. I don't mean for it to be like that. If you have anything, yes, please, sir, may I have some more?
That's always thanks to God for
Norman's
good results.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
God's answered all round.
And one other thing, although it's a bit far from our shores, my niece and great nephew by marriage over in America, this is, they were out at a pool the other day and a wee fella drowned and had to be pulled out of the bottom of the pool. Now, I think they got him revived, but he was seemed to be very, very confused, and I think the word was combative. So they sedated him and brought him to hospital. A lifeguard had to actually dive in and pull him out of the bottom of the pool. So not just praying for the wee fella, whoever he was, but I am sure it was one of the things that really did prompt the message for this evening, but that how all of those children, how they, in quotes, process all of the proceedings. So I think my great-nephew is a little bit upset about it all, and rightly so, and they are just asking for a wee bit of prayer for him as well. Is that us? Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes, madam.
Mom, thank you very much.
That's Pat. Pat, I was going to say Pat Moore, it's not Pat Moore. Pat Hain.
Not Pat Moore either. I have not changed my name. Not for a long time anyway.
Thanks for prayers.
Yeah.
And she's still in recovery.
Yep, okay. All right. Is there anything else we need to be adding or thinking on?
I thank you all for the prayers for me today, because at one time today I thought, I'm a mother here. See, when somebody comes around and tells you, could you come in here a minute, I want to talk to you, you think to yourself, oh, this is it. But no, it was good news.
Amen. Yep. Sort of one of those conversations that could go either way.
I opened the door, I dropped on my knees, front door, and I said, thanks. Thank you for me today, because I thought two white cross, two brain scans in one day. I thought myself, this is serious.
To quote Brother Stan, two brain scans and they found nothing. We're glad. We really are glad. Don't forget our missionaries. They haven't heard anything from the bank, and we'll have to contact them tomorrow regarding our financial stuff for purchasing the land. That's not unsurprising, unfortunately. But you'd think with them not having to deal with any customers that stuff would be done like that, but they are as slack as all get out. I just ask that you would pray for Philip and Trevor and their families as well, and of course Aileen's family at this time as well, and my dad. My dad he's had a fair few shocks in his day. About 15 years ago, he thought his wee girl was going to die of cancer. About a year and a half ago, he thought his eldest son was going to die of who knows what, sepsis. And that was the one other thing. And now his little girl is going in for a fairly major op on her leg. He is going in for cataract surgery this coming Wednesday. So it's not a big Say it's not a big surgery. Any surgery can be a big surgery, and we would appreciate your prayers for John Bradfield Wednesday and a day or two afterwards. My father-in-law got two done. He was grand. He, as a fellow says in the Marines, he just walked it off, and he was up and at him before too long. So, but we would appreciate your prayers for my dad as well. Amen. I'm putting cat surgery down here. That does not mean the cats are going to the vet, but you'll get the idea. Right, I think that's it. I'll have a word of prayer and then we will continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your invitation to come into your presence at any time, and Lord, for the understanding that there's no subject that's forbidden. And I just pray you, Lord, for all of the things that have been mentioned in the church, for the many thanks for hospital tests, for the well-being of loved ones. We continue to pray for Christy and Taylor as they set up home. And Lord, just for each soul that's here, but Father, we do also remember, there's my sister, there's my dad, there's my mother-in-law. Goodness, it's almost like a Bradfield's prayer request night tonight, but we're just glad of Norman's good news, and we're just praying for good news for Steve and for Pat as well. We're concerned a wee bit about Esther, Lord, and pray, Lord, that your will would be done. If someone could even speak to her and just encourage her to go, but Lord, you know, I pray that you would work on her heart and mind for that, please. Lord, we've got our missionaries. We've got the missions outreaches in Tanzania. And with Brother Cosgrave, I think he's in America at the moment. Of course, with the Christian Institute right here on our own home shores, Lord, and pray that you would please watch over and keep them. We know things are getting worse and worse, Lord, and we do pray, Lord, for our own country, for this, for the 2,000 people that have lost their lives because of recent legislation, Lord, and about abortion in this country. And for the many others, Lord, that are going to go to an early grave because of gay marriage and increasing LGBT legislation and considerations. Lord, please. We know, Lord, that the world is not given over to the devil just yet. We know, Lord, that you work in the hearts and minds of people and in times and places. And Father, we just pray you, please, that even now that you would greatly convict those that walk the corridors of power here and abroad, Lord. And Lord, don't give them any peace until they make right decisions. I pray, Lord, too, for our brothers and sisters to awaken, to make sure our voices are heard. And Lord, that people would be reminded of, Lord, of an eternity that's pretty much only a heartbeat away. Watch over us and keep us, Lord, I pray. We just thank you, Lord, for all of your many helps and blessings. And I pray, Lord, that you would take this time to embolden us, to make us wiser, sharper, Lord. Strengthen us, comfort us, Lord, chasten us even, encourage us, exhort us, Lord, please supply us what it is that we need this evening. Just look into our hearts and minds, Lord, and work there. We love you and thank you. And we just ask this, Lord, and of course for our private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Lord, please forgive me, I've got one off.
That's okay, go on ahead.
Today, I've allowed on this channel a gay pride thing. It's showing heroes of GDLT, of their little children coming out.
Well, ditch them.
And they're making such a big thing of these children, so the children are loving it.
Tell you a wee story. I think I lost my Star Wars comrades whenever Neil went into eternity and whenever Billy's wife Margaret went into eternity. But there was a little bit of aggro was vented at one of the actresses for standing up and pointing out how the conservatives were being treated like the Jews in Nazi Germany. And she lost her job, and literally the whole of Hollywood nearly came out against her. So people stopped buying Disney Plus. They cut their subscriptions, and they ditched Disney Plus, who owns Star Wars. And it got so bad that they fired the woman that made it possible for this Gina Carano to be fired. And it took months, but they reinstated her again with an apology. So if you want Sky to stop doing that stuff, you ring them up, you cancel your subscription, and you tell them why. There are plenty of other media services out there. That would be my advice. Cancel Sky, find somebody else, and they will soon get the picture.
Well, mine ends up in October, so I've got a couple of months to pay off if I cancel now.
Well, just ring them and tell them even now that you're very unhappy about it and you are considering cancelling because of their content. That's the only way to do it.
This is done through the schools.
You know, the best way to hurt those people is a good solid kick in the wallet. That'll sort them out. There is a dire warning in the Bible. If you turn little children away from God, you might as well get a pair of concrete Wellingtons on and jump into the deepest part of the ocean, because it'd be better for you than for God to get his hands on you.
But
I'll not be watching number 40 My Boy Road, I'll tell you that for free. 130 in the big books.
Ooh.
130.
Music machine.
Thank you, Mrs. B. If you're able, let's stand as we sing Yesterday, Today, and Forever.
Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same.
Put your hymn books away and join me away and up in the New Testament in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to spend a minute or two this evening on the subject for your edification, all being well. On the subject of constantly unchangeable and incorruptible. Constantly unchangeable and incorruptible. There's actually a better turn there. Instead of just looking at the notes. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 13. The Word of God says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." And we'll just finish the chapter off. "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. Grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Verses 18 and 19 are our texts, and we're going to speak on the subject of constantly unchangeable and incorruptible. Amen. Christy, would you pray for us, if you would, please?
Father, we thank you this day, Lord, for your goodness, for all the ability just to come into the Holy Spirit, for the blood of Christ, Lord, wherever and whenever, Lord, we're in heaven, and when we please. Thank you, Lord, that you hear prayers, Lord, that you answer, that you care for each step that we take in this life, Lord, and walk with us. We ask and thank in advance, Lord, for this message that we're about to receive. We pray especially for the preacher, Lord, you would help him as he discerns wisdom from above, Lord, to feed your sheep, Lord. Just pray and ask that we uphold him to you this hour, Lord, and ask and pray that you would guide every thought, every word, Lord. Take every worry, Lord, every struggle, every stress from this time, Lord, just so that your church can be strengthened, Lord, and wisdom gained here this evening. We meet each need, Lord, here tonight. We can work in each heart, we pray. Lord, save the lost through the online ministry as well, we pray, and our testimonies as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Before we get into this, there's so many, like, so much of what we read, there are so many good verses there. I think it deserves just a moment or two of explanation for all the rest. The title is Constantly Unchangeable and Incorruptible. The portion that we're looking for, verses 18 and 19, our text compare the blood of Jesus Christ to gold and silver and calls gold and silver corruptible. In other words, like a nail that'll go rusty if it's left out. That is how precious and how powerful the blood of Christ is. And compared to that, silver and gold are not worth anything at all. But as we open up the little portion that we've read this evening, there's an exhortation there for us, an encouragement for us to gird up the loins of our mind. And normally whenever you talk about girding yourself, it means making yourself ready for something. And many times in the Word of God, we've even read, I think, about Peter girding on his garment before he hopped into the water to see Jesus in the last chapter of John, because he was on the shore cooking a fish. And that means making yourself ready. And the Word of God calls us as Christians to always be ready. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that dwells within you. It is a very important thing, because at the times whenever you're not expecting it, that's the times when folks are watching you. Lost folks. They're either going to say, well, that's something I never expected to hear. That's a good example of a Christian. Or they're going to see you sell your testimony for whatever little bit of inconvenience you came across. So it's worth remembering. It goes on to say it's not girding up, it's not putting your overcoat on, and it's not like a soldier making sure your rifle works and you've got your ammo and your food and your shelter on in your backpack. It's talking about the loins of your mind. The most important part of you is quite literally your mind, because it directs the rest of your body. Someone once said that our bodies are a machine that a ghost could operate. And that ghost, if you like, is you. That is your soul. And it is in your mind where all of your most important battles will be fought and won, hopefully, or lost. So it is very, very careful that you prepare your mind. One other verse, of course, that comes to mind is about being sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, don't get carried away by whatever's going on around and about you. It actually says in verse 17, if you're saved, right? If you're saved and you call on the Father, behave yourself properly. We're the children of God Almighty. There is a certain expectation of behavior for God's children. And we ought to be observing that. Not in verse 14. Not the way we used to live. Not doing all the stupid things that were dragging us down to hell. All the stupid things that we got saved from. Don't go back to those things. But press on towards the mark. Behaving yourself like God's children. And you know what? You might say, but how do we know what God's children behave like? You do one thing out of Christian character and you will find that every lost soul that you know actually does know how Christians are supposed to behave. You killed a fly. Christians shouldn't do that. Those are the dirtiest creatures that God ever put in this world, and you wonder why I don't want them flying in my dinner. Here's an FYI, when a fly lands in your dinner, it throws up the contents of its stomach on your food and then sucks it up. And that fly could have been, you pretty well know where that fly could have been before it landed in your dinner. So if I want to kill a fly, especially if it's one of those dirty great blue bottles that sounds like a Chinook helicopter coming into land, I'm going to do it. And you can call me not a respecter of God's creation if you want, but I don't want whatever it was eaten thrown up over my food. Thank you very much. You know what I mean whenever I say that. It's very important that we behave like Christians. There people are watching us, friends. And you are a walking, talking, living example or rendition of God's word in your life as you go. And some people, that's going to be the only gospel they ever hear. It's important. It's so important that God gave his life for us on the cross. And he was raised from the dead just to show us that he had the victory. He had the total power over life and death, not just over other people, but in his own himself. And that fact that he compares the blood of Jesus Christ to gold and silver and says gold and silver is going to rust and fail and fade away shows us the regard that the word of God, that God Almighty has for the shed blood of his son. It's important. It's incredibly valuable. And we ought to be respectful of it. We ought to be careful what we do with it after it is applied to our lives. And it's not a flash in the pan, this thing that Jesus did. It just wasn't something that Jesus was sitting watching Netflix one day and thought, you know what, I think I'm going to go down to the earth and I'm going to give my life on the cross. That's not the way it happened. The Bible says, here it says, from the very foundation of the world, Jesus was the Lamb of God. John said, behold the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. From the very foundation of the world. See that verse up there, Genesis 1 and 1, just above Norman's head? Before that, Jesus was going to give his life on the cross of Calvary. Before people were called up out of the dust, before the dry land was called into one place, Jesus was going to give his life on the cross. It was a carefully crafted history into which the Lord God not only inserted himself, but took and changed it to suit himself. He found men and women that were prepared to give their lives, to keep their eyes on him, no matter what was going on around and about. And they were able to keep their heads when everybody else was losing theirs. And he made types and examples and laid down prophecies of all of these things which were going to happen. It is worth a moment of your time. That song that we sang prior to that one, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I bet you if you said that to a Christian, a churchgoer today, you know what? Stan preached an excellent service one day and there's saved souls. This is the proper way. There's churchgoers and then there's saved souls and then there's Christians. Churchgoer and a saved soul's different. A saved soul and a Christian's different. Both go into heaven, but they're still different. A Christian is someone that behaves like Christ. There are plenty of saved souls that don't. Churchgoers, they're chameleons, and they change to whatever circumstance they're in, but they're not going to heaven. You go to church as many times as you like, that doesn't get you to heaven. It's very important that we get these things right. The title is constantly, unchangeable, and incorruptible. You can put a comma between them, you can put a dash between them. You can put one of those down as your message if you take notes. But I am glad that the salvation that Christ brought to this world is that. Not only that, it's better than the salvation before the Old Testament. Because now we make one decision for Jesus Christ at some point in our life and we're saved forever. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit every moment of every day. We have the opportunity to literally in prayer enter into the presence of God. We have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Not only do saved people have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but lost people have the conviction of the Holy Spirit too, until such times as God says, well, you obviously don't want anything to do with me because you're consistently chasing after sin and taking pleasure in it, so I'll just leave you to your business. We live in awful days. 10 years ago, 2 years ago, I remember speaking on the subject of Northern Ireland being the most conservative country in the world, about the only one that didn't have abortion and well, very much gay legislation. And all it took was for a bunch of men to be asleep at the wheel for that to sneak in through the back door. We need all of this. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. We need this incorruptible, unchangeable God that has been saving souls from the days that he called Adam up out of the dust. We literally need him every moment. 1,000 years ago, or thousands of years ago, we needed it. There's never literally been a time in human history when man has not needed the presence of God in his life. We needed it when we were called up out of the dust. Everything was hunky-dory until Adam sinned. We needed it when the flood came in Noah's day. The people that listened to God were saved and the multitudes that didn't were destroyed. We need it. Do you think Joseph needed it when he was sold into slavery? Goodness, meant for evil but provided salvation for God's people? Of course he needed it. Goodness, when everything else was taken away, the only thing that he had was his relationship with God. Of course, Moses and all the children of Israel needed it when they left Egypt 400 years later, when they crossed the Red Sea and spent 40 years in the wilderness. They were fed and watered and delivered safely to the promised land. Do you think they needed God then? Of course they did. He fed them, he watered them, he kept their clothes. He had a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day to guide them and direct them. They needed them. They needed God whenever the Babylonians came and conquered the whole of the world. Of course, if they'd listened to God, it wouldn't have happened, but they needed it then. They needed it when the Medes and the Persians seized control from them in the days of Nebuchadnezzar's son. Remember the account in Daniel? Then when the Greeks raged across the world doing exactly the same again, God's people needed it then too. And I seem to remember, and someday I must actually go and verify that, but I seem to recall a time, was it the Greeks? I think it was. They came across a Judeo-Christian town, an Israeli town. And they were standing, because a lot of towns back in the day, they had huge walls and protected them from raiders. But when these guys knew that it was the Greeks that came, they opened their gates and welcomed them in and said, "There you are in our holy writings. We were expecting you." And I do believe they were spared because of their following in God's will. God gave the world to the Greeks. And then the Roman Empire took control and he said, "This is the way it's going to be." Do you think God's people needed him then? Of course they did. It almost reminds me of a piece of birthday cake that's nicely decorated, and the child wants the bit that's nicely decorated, like maybe their name. And so what do? You slice around it, you cut a slice off the edge, you give that bit away, you cut another slice around it, you give that bit away. Another slice disappears to somebody else and so on and so forth until there's only that bit left. The bit that is really, really wanted. And in our lives, that should not be stuff and things. That should be Jesus Christ. And let the chips fall where they may. I guarantee you, more and more things are going to be sliced away like that cake until there's only that little bit that you really wanted. Anyway, didn't take too long till Jesus Christ walked in the world then. For 33 years, do you think people needed Jesus? How many lives did Jesus change? He has since, but even back in the day, how many families were restored by those brought back to life? How many people were given back their lives and their livelihoods with the restoration of their senses and their abilities? People needed Jesus when he walked amongst them, but Jesus was able to speak to and work with and save far more people when the Holy Spirit convicted men of their sins. Instead of just one man and the people that listened to him, it was spread across the world. Do you think people needed Jesus whenever the Caesars, and they were as bad as all get out, when the Caesars persecuted the Christian church? And you know what? When we say persecuted today, we think of bad things being put on the news about Christians. That's what we think of. Persecution back in Caesar's day amounted to Christians being put in stakes in Caesar's garden and lit on fire, covered in tar and lit on fire so that he could drive his chariot through his gardens at night. That's persecution. Do you think those souls needed Jesus then? Of course they did, friends. That was all that they had left. What about the revived Roman Empire, when the Roman Empire itself proper disappeared and the Holy Roman Catholic Empire started? Quite literally bringing the Dark Ages, the world ground to a halt for hundreds of years because of the awful persecution of believers and basically anybody that resisted the Roman Catholic Church. Do you think believers needed Jesus then? How many hundreds and of thousands were burned at the stake because it was convenient for the Holy Catholic Church to do so? Whenever world wars brought the deaths of tens of millions of souls, do you think people needed Jesus? Of course they did. When God's chosen people finally secured their homeland, do you think they needed their Savior, their Messiah? Of course they did. All of these things have so many coincidences and quotes going on around and about them that it could only be divine intervention. Do you think when the wars cooled down and peace broke out that people needed Jesus? Do you know when the devil accomplishes his greatest victories in this world? Whenever the churches are full of preachers having itching ears, and they tickle them and the Christians go to sleep. The saved souls go to sleep. They thank the Lord for their comforts and their plenty, and then they forget about leaning upon the Holy Spirit. So after a respectable amount of time, people stopped leaning on Jesus. What about the Korean War and the Vietnam War? Do you think people needed Jesus then?
Yes.
Of course they did. Or what about a little more up to date, 20 years ago? Islam bloodied the nose of the USA in 9/11. Do you think people needed Jesus then? Of course they did. In fact, that's so recent to our memories that I know Monica, for one, remembers the churches filling up. People saying, oh, how could this happen? Do you know for the last three generations, the world, the flesh and the devil has waged a sustained campaign against everything godly, against everything that's good, everything that God said. He said to Adam and Eve, go forth and multiply and replenish the earth and fill it. And what is the latest commandment of the devil? Oh, you need to be a lesbian or a homosexual or transgender, or you need anything but be men and women that would get married to each other and provide a safe place for each other and for their children, for the next generation. Do you think people need the Lord today? There has never been a time in the whole history of man that man has needed God more. Whenever we see the things that are happening, and we're, let's be honest, most of us are long enough in the tooth to have known a different time to this. When everything that people have depended upon to give their lives a little bit of meaning or peace or security is being literally stolen. All the pillars of a thriving society are being eroded. Demolished, I think. They're not even being eroded. They're being eroded gently and little by little, day by day, year by year. We have never needed and unchanging, incorruptible, constant God like we have today. We never needed him more. Never needed them more. And do you know what? If we were to go from Peter to the end of the Bible, from Peter to today is about 2,000 years. Until the day, 1,007 years at least from today, when fire comes down from heaven and consumes everybody that has rejected Jesus Christ, and time is no more, men are going to need Jesus Christ. Never been a greater need to be saved. Walking and talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading, studying. Everybody likes to do a wee bit of that. The memorizing and the applying and the preaching is not so popular, but we need them all. The Bible says so. Sacrificing the things that slow us down, and even that the world would take, on the altar of our obedience to God. Just say, even if you have to say, Lord, for your sake, I'm going to offer this on the altar, and I am trusting you, because there's a wee bit of me wants to hold on to it very, very hard. Lord, I'm offering it there, and I'm trusting that you have something that's 100 times better in its place, because you said you would. That's all you got to tell the Lord. He's not going to lie. He's not going to say, I was only pranking you. That was only for a special offer on April the 1st. That's the devil, the way the devil works. Friends, last song we sang was Yesterday, Today and Forever, and it says all things change but Jesus never. And we might think, oh, things haven't changed that much, but I just want to draw your attention to the laws that have changed. Did you ever think it would be illegal to preach the gospel in literally the cradle of missions outreach for the past 400 years, 500 years? Did you ever think it would? And yet, just across the border, in the land of saints and scholars, churches were closed by force. Same here. There's been changes in our lives. We weren't allowed. Do you know what the prevailing thought processes that the world, the flesh and the devil want for you right now is, let's not go back. Let's change things. Let's reset the way we work our lives. And that word will keep appearing here and there and everywhere. And then someday the government's going to say, we're going to have to do a great reset. And people say, oh yeah, we've heard that for the past year. We're going to do that. And that's what people will do. The laws are changing. And do you know what? The word of God said that the devil would try to change laws and times. Our families have changed. Our role models have changed. Our friends and our company, they will all change. Our fashions change. Education certainly has changed. Jobs have changed. Our entertainment most certainly has changed. Things that people pursue for entertainment are things that would have been illegal maybe 20 years ago. Governments have certainly changed. They don't serve the people anymore. The people are a bargaining chip in the grand scheme of things. And sadly, churches have changed, and even churchgoers have changed too. I am sure every one of us is up enough in what's going on in the world that I'm not just pulling that like a rabbit out of the hat. That's the way things are. It said it was going to happen in Isaiah. All these things have been turned up on their head. And it's not to help the people. It's to break the people. It's to give them nothing to cling to and no hope. And a lot of people are that way. I've seen and heard from solicitors, from lawyer, solicitors. Is it a lawyer here or is it a lawyer in America? America. Solicitors. The number of breakdowns in families that there have been this past year and a half is phenomenal. And that's not the way the Lord wanted it. These things that have been happening would have outraged people a few years ago. And if it wasn't for the way in which people have been subtly, sometimes not so subtly, persuaded by the news and the radio and the internet, they would be freaking out. they would quite literally be looking for our government's heads on pikes as a good example. And it's happened in generations gone by. I don't think it ever happened here, but people that did things that were that badly wrong certainly were put to death for their trouble, basically. And one of the things I said a few weeks back, and I'm not saying I'm a prophet or anything, this is a formula for breaking people's spirits. To constantly give them a goal, and just whenever they get to it, to change the goalposts. Mm-hmm. And just when they get to it, change the goalposts again. And every time that chips away at a person, it breaks them down. And a few weeks back, whenever Bojo, our first citizen, who was living in sin with a woman and supposedly the best that this country could offer to govern it, said in the 21st of June, my sister's birthday, she's not going to forget this one, that everything will be released. And just this past week, what did he say? Could be a few more weeks. That's an old formula for breaking people's spirits. For getting things done the way they want them done. You know what, friends? Every single thing, it's almost like Egypt. Whenever the Lord took the people out of Egypt, what did he do beforehand? He destroyed all of their gods in their sight. In Revelation 6 through 16, the Lord gives another 21 judgments to this world. And it's almost like he takes everything, again, that men have put their faith in, and destroys them in our sight. And he's doing it again. He's been doing it for years. It's all come to a head in the past year and a half. Everything that people put their faith in. Oh, I've got a business, I'll be fine. Businesses are destroyed. Ling would be more than happy to tell you that things were tight for a while. I'm not even sure if they're back to normal yet. But you think of the one business I am glad that bit the dust is so many pubs and so many people in quotes, hospitality trade. There is a curse in anyone that puts a drink in his neighbor's mouth to uncover his nakedness to take advantage of him. Everything is sinking sand, friends. No matter what you put your hand on to pull yourself up, the Word of God says if you're not leaning on the Lord God Almighty, you're leaning on a broken reed, and it will slip through your hand and injure you. That is what it said. I think that's Psalms or Proverbs. All around us is sinking sand. Oh, I'm going to put my faith in my fitness, and I found out just a year and a half ago that can disappear all very quickly too. I'm going to put my faith in my nuclear bunker, or whatever it is that you have, is going to save you from all of the things in the world. There is not one thing in this world, and I think we mentioned it, there's not one moat, wall, barbed wire fence, infrared targeting machine gun that can stop God from putting his finger on you and the things that he has for you coming to pass. Almost all the time, people are finding themselves on shaky ground, uncertain ground. And that is an easy place for the world, the flesh, and the devil to pick you off, just like that lion walking about. There is one constant. And it's not one that you can hold on to. It's one quite literally that the human creature, the human being, that's you and me and even lost folks, need to hold on to. And that's Jesus Christ. He's not called the solid rock for nothing. He's not called us a foundation stone for nothing. He is called those things so that when you depend upon him, all the things that happen around in the world will not crush you, will not move you, because you have depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ You have proved him. You have seen in your own life and the lives of those around and about you that he is always faithful, that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and he will never cast you out. And I want for you to know that is not something that comes like that. That is a relationship that must be cultivated. It is a relationship that you and I must put work into. And this was one of those things that whenever Monica said to me, how are they going to talk to their little son about that little boy they found in the bottom of the pool? What is he going to do? He is going to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ is what he's going to have to do. And he's going to have to tell the Lord that he feels very sad and very frightened by that. And that might sound like stupid. But it says in Philippians 4:13, don't be worrying about anything, but with everything, prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and what? The peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. If you are not Christian, saved soul, if you are not dependent on Jesus Christ, you are hopping through this world when you could be sprinting through it. You have quite literally tied your two legs together. Sometimes it takes things to sort you out, and I have found over the years that there is a great peace to be had in just taking time away from the world in God's presence, whether it's in prayer, whether you're just reading the Word of God. Now, being in church doesn't count because you've got all these other folks that might be wanting to say something or shake your hand or fellowship. Your own time. And make sure that you know Jesus and that he knows you. You know what I mean by that. That you talk to each other. That you depend upon him. And when the time comes, that he can depend upon you. I don't know if you have ever been walking with the Lord and he said, go and do that. Speak to that man. Give that man a gospel tract. Three times just off the top of my head, I can think of where it has made a difference in people's lives. It's not easy, but the battle, it's not a matter of muscle. It's not a matter of clothing. It's not a matter of your language. It's a matter of you just going over and doing what God says. When you let God win that battle in your mind comes up with all sorts of reasons why you shouldn't serve God. Normally the way my contrary back to front mind works is, if there's that many reasons for me not serving God, that must be the devil, so I'm going to do it anyway. And that's the way to do it. Look to Jesus. Because I'm going, standing here tonight, I am going to guarantee you something. Before you get to heaven, every single thing that you love in this world is going to disappear. Everything. If you live a long life, your health is going to disappear. If you live a short life, everything's going to disappear. Your money will disappear. Your family will disappear. I remember wee Alice. One Sunday afternoon saying, when we were commenting about ages, she says, it's a curse, this long life, because all of my family are gone. But all the solution to that is our previous sermon about cultivating your church family as well. Jesus is never going to change. Our need for him is never going to change. All the things around you are. And the only way you will have peace in this world is whenever you're standing and dependent on him. When you run everything past him, I know it sounds stupid, but the only way it's going to work and it's going to keep your head screwed in your two shoulders is whenever you put your faith in him for everything. And keep in touch with him. Got a couple of things I want to say. Yes, and then we're done. No matter what the world says, God is still in heaven.
Yes,
and his Son Jesus Christ is by his right hand side. Until he that letteth will let and is taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit still goes to and fro across the earth, convicting everybody and saving whosoever will. Sin is still sin, no matter how it's prettied up and what colour a bow's put on it. And judgment is still due for those sins. Salvation is still free forever and sure, and it always has been. And it's open to whosoever will. God still loves us. And he is reaching out still with the offer of eternal life in heaven. And a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in when you repent of your sins and trust his Son as your Savior. And we still need to depend upon God, just like the children of Israel depended upon him when they were crossing the desert. Just like David depended on him when he chucked that stone and smacked Goliath square in the forehead. Just like Solomon did as he sought God's wisdom. And just like the thief did when he sought God's redemption. And just like you did whenever you trusted him as your own personal Savior. I want to close with probably the verse that you're thinking, why hasn't he mentioned that verse out of Hebrews 13 yet? With that verse. Jesus Christ's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, the grace of God, not with stuff, meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. If anybody has a pick for a closing hymn, more than 17 in the little book. You were just waiting for that, Brother Steve. Can you play Because He Loved Me? Hymn number 17 in the wee book, if you're fit, we'll stand and sing this closing hymn, and then we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer.
Jesus, my Lord, suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to the cross, great was the pain, great was the loss, he suffered it all, because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. Surely they thought that this would be the end of this man. On the third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead because he loved me. Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me.
Thank you for your good time and your good attention. God bless you. Christy, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer if you would, brother?
Lord, we're thankful for this day again, for the service, Lord, for time in your house, and with our brethren, Lord, for freedom in this land, still to worship you as well. Thank you, Lord, that you're constant, that you're never changing, Lord, that you remain faithful in spite of us wavering, Lord, in spite of us failing you daily. Thank you, Lord, for just walking with us, being But we came towards us, Lord, for your patience as well. Help us, Lord, to realize we need to share that with the world as well. Lord, reach the lost, those that are in need. We save lost souls. Lord, be with the conflict in Israel and Gaza at this time as well. We ask and pray. Lord, just accomplish your will in this world, Lord, in these times. Give our governments and world leaders wisdom, we pray, Lord. And Lord, just enact laws, Lord, that they're based on the Bible, Lord, and don't go against your standard. If a stumbling block in the way of any, Lord, would just go against your way, Lord, and inflict upon their citizens, Lord, that as well. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit.